take your Bible tonight and turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Being that this is the week before Thanksgiving, we've really kind of focused last week and this week upon that principle. And tonight's message is just an exhortation to praise. That's really basically what Psalm 100 is all about. So let's read the text and then we'll dive into it and see what the Lord would teach us tonight. Scripture says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and is faithful to all generations. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is ours to learn from, grow in, and be blessed by. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd open the eyes of our heart that we might see clearly and we might gain strength and encouragement from your word. May we truly worship you as we worship in music now, maybe worship around the word. And we'll give you praise. There be one here tonight that needs Christ as Savior. Might you speak to them by the enabling power of your Holy Spirit. We'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll recall that in November the 21st of 1620, a group of people by the name of Pilgrims arrived at a place that was in a rock, so to speak, and they named it Plymouth Rock. And they got off the boat and they got together and prayed and thanked God for their safety and for all that he had done for them to come to a new world. The reason for their coming was, as you may know, King James the First made life miserable for them. And so the nonconformists, as they were, left and went to the Netherlands. And they got to the Netherlands, and it was not good in the Netherlands. There they were losing their families through evil examples and degenerate mentality. And so they sailed in a different direction to America, bringing their goods. And what a lot of people don't know is because of their issues with King James, they didn't bring the King James. They brought the Geneva Bible. That's what they brought with them. And so we see that's what's happening. Once they arrived, they were grateful to God, grateful for safe travel, grateful for a new opportunity. They recognized God as their source and their supply in everything that they did. And sometime in the fall of 1621, they had a day that was called a day of festival. Now we call it Thanksgiving. And it's a day set that we do that. Now, I would encourage you, and I hope you don't just make Thanksgiving Day your day of Thanksgiving. I trust that that's your heart that's filled with gratitude and appreciation to the Lord. As we're studying Philippians, we're talking about that very much. It's an attitude of gratitude to have joy and thanksgiving because of who Christ is. Everything else in your life may be tumbling along, but Jesus is always steadfast and secure in our relationship to him. In verse 1, the word shout literally means from the Hebrew to raise a shout, to give a blast, a glad shout. I was visiting with someone, he's not here, it was Wallace Perry here a few weeks ago, and he came to me and he said, I want to ask you a question. And I said, sure. He said, the other night in Revelation 22, when you were preaching, I really felt something in me that I just wanted to shout. And I said, well, why didn't you, Wallace? He said, well, I don't know why I didn't. I just didn't. He said, would that be okay? I said, that would be absolutely okay to do that. You know, sometimes some of us Baptists would do good just to have a spell. You know, just kind of wake up from the doldrums and rejoice in who you are in Jesus Christ. Amen? Significant that we do that. So it says, shout joyfully to the Lord, says the verse. It comes from a grateful spirit. You have a grateful heart tonight. You have a grateful spirit. There may be things going on in your life, difficulties of life, things that are not just like you'd want them to be, but our God is a great God, and we should be grateful through him daily for our salvation, for our security in him, for the steadfastness that he brings to our life. It should be a daily thing of thanksgiving and praise unto the Lord Jesus Christ for all he's done. In Psalm 98 in verse 4, the scripture says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth, break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. Something we should consider doing. I can give you a number of verses that are there, and going all the way back to Psalm 63, talks about shout to the Lord, shout to the Lord, praise Him. We have something to be thankful for, though we live in America, which you'll be thankful for, but we have something that awaits us as much beyond that. That is eternity with Him. And so when we think about the Lord, we think about the future and what He's done for us now that will bring us into His presence. He is good. Joy is ours due to His goodness. God is a good God. We use the little cliche, God is good all the time. God is good all the time. That should not be a cliche, because He is good all the time. No matter what's happening in your life or mine, He is a good God, and He wants us to honor Him. This joyful shout of praise comes from knowing His great love, knowing it, His great love, and being deeply thankful for His grace. Look over, if you would, at Leviticus chapter 7 and verse 12. We'll find something very interesting. Leviticus chapter 7 and verse 12. He says in Leviticus chapter 7, I'll find it in a minute. I got 7. I got to find 12. If he offers it by way of thanksgiving, then along with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, he shall not unleavened cake. He should offer unleavened cakes mixed with oil and unleavened wafers spread with oil. The cakes of well stirred fine flour mixed with oil. With the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving, he shall present his offerings. Now, what are we talking about here? This is the Levitical covenant. Now, listen to me carefully. There's only one sacrifice left over from the Levitical covenant that we should do, and that's the sacrifice of praise. We offer sacrifice to Him. Hebrews says that we offer a sacrifice of praise. When we come, we praise Him. We honor Him. We glorify Him. It's so important. The psalm most likely was used in the temple when the thank offering was given, when it was brought in under the Levitical covenant. Then the second thing we see, he says, not only shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Now, when he talks about all the earth, he's talking about everyone. If you read Scripture, you'll find out that the earth, the trees, everything about the earth gives praise to the Lord. And if the rocks will cry out, remember that? Well, who wants the rocks to beat you to it? We should be a people who are praising Him. And we not just here when we come together, but out in the place where we're in the world, day by day, moment by moment, as we vocally say, thank you, Lord, praise you, Lord, in the presence of people, to know, be unashamed of the gospel, amen? That's exactly what we're talking about in this passage, to serve Him. The word serve here in verse 2, when he says, shout joyfully, then he says, serve the Lord with what? What does he say? With gladness, with joy, with purpose, with excitement. With a desire to be all you can be in. And the word serve literally means to work with joy. It's with gladness. And there's so much to do in any church. It matters not the size. I will assure you of that. I pastored churches that started off, my first one was running about 50 in Sunday school when I got there. And there's still plenty of work to do. I can tell you this, at Champion Forest or at Wood Lake where I was, or where anybody you may have been before, the work was never all done. There's always work to be done. There's always service to be rendered, and we should do it with gladness, not drudgery, but being thankful that God has blessed us so much that we have the joy of entering in to serving Him, and we do it for His glory and for His honor, to work with joy. For example, we have a group here called Servants of Grace. We have about today probably somewhere in the 50 range of homebound. Then we have somewhere about 40 plus in the long-term care. That's about 90 people that we try to keep up with and stay close to. I just got a message a few minutes ago from one of our members, Janice Onstead. Her dad, Norris, is at the center down here on Cypresswood, and he's really bad. They found out that he has cancer, and it's cirrhosis of the liver, and it's not good, and I've been visiting him. You know, you get to meet people. Norris is an old retired preacher, 91 years old, and we just had the greatest fellowship, and we have a joy when we share together and pray together. This is opportunity to serve the Lord with gladness. There may come a day we cannot, so we do it now. How do we do it? How do we serve with gladness? Why? We are blessed by God with eternal salvation, unconditional love, and amazing grace. Amazing grace is not something we just sing about. Amazing grace is something we have. It's ours every day that we have in the Lord. So we're blessed to be able to serve Him. Puritan author and pastor Thomas Watson said this, and I quote, "To serve is a sign that the oil of grace has been poured into your heart," end quote. The oil of grace has been poured into your heart. So you're willing to serve. Cameron Byler, who used to be the camp director at Camp Zephyr in Corpus Christi years ago and went to Alaska and helped build their state camp. I was there doing a camp one time with him in Zephyr, and he's made this statement. He asked the question, he said, "What is a missionary?" Well, my immediate response was, it's somebody that sails out and goes to China or goes wherever, to Africa, and they become a missionary. And Cameron Byler said this, "A missionary is someone willing to get outside of themselves." I've never forgotten that. Willing to get outside ourselves. See, our problem in not serving is we're inside ourselves. We need to get outside ourselves and be willing to do. Lord, here I am. What do you have for me today? What do you want me to do this morning? What do you have for me? Let Him set your agenda. In our worship and obedience to do, we do it with gladness. Listen, think about this. We are blood-bought, amen? We are blood-bought people, saved from a devil's hell, Christ in you being the hope of glory, and seated at the Father's right hand, He sees you there already, is reason enough to serve. Reason enough to serve. How do we serve Him? With what? Gladness. With gladness. This is one way of worship and praise. Listen to this carefully. The highest joy man can know is serving his Lord. The highest joy a man can know is servitude to his Lord. Can I just tell you something? We're just you and I talking right now. This is not a job to me. This is a calling. It is a privilege. It is an honor. It is a joy. Amen. I love it. Not only this, but just to serving people and being with people and getting to know people and sharing, hearing their heart and what God's doing in their life. That is special to me, and I love every minute of it. The next thing he says, sing. He says in verse 2, "Know that the Lord Himself is God." He is, or verse 3, "Come before Him with joyful singing. Then know that the Lord Himself is God." Come before Him with what kind of singing? Joyful. Joyful singing. You say, "Well, I can't sing." You're in good company. You're in good company. I can't either. But I'm going to sing. But not that I can, not my wife is an extraordinary vocalist. She has a great voice. And she can sing. My son has a great voice. He can sing. I just sing because I have a song in my heart. Because I've been saved. Because I've been set apart, because I've been called, because I've seen the hand of God in my life. I have joy because of that. And it's a joy to serve and to be a part of what God's doing here. This we sing. There was a song back probably in the 80s. It said, started off this way, "The earth shakes and a stone moves. The birds start singing and nature rejoices. So should man, intelligent, redeemed, immortal man, rejoices with singing." Singing to the Lord. I sing along. So I had a I'll get to him in just a minute, but I'm going to put a picture of my dog up here that I used to have. And Winston and I would go walking around the park when I lived in Carrollton. Winston was a corgi, full blood, and we would walk. And Winston was so smart, I would turn him loose and he would heel right by me. He wouldn't leave me. Rabbit would jump up, he'd stay right by me. And I would sing, at the cross, there's power in the blood. Winston never complained. Winston never complained. And I never hit a note, brother. But Winston never complained. He just kept right there by me. He was my best friend because he tolerated my singing, okay? It's important we see that. The earth shakes, the stone. We can worship and we can praise Him. We can't do that without knowing Him. Singing is a great way of expression. It's a great way of expression. If the Lord has given you a talent to sing, you should sing. You should use that talent to the glory of God because He's the one that's given it to you. The word "know" here, look at the word. He says in verse 3, "Know that the Lord Himself is God." This is an important word. Sometimes we just fly by words in Scripture, but the word "know" here literally means this. It means a firm ground underfoot. A firm ground underfoot. It means to be convinced of something. Be convinced of it. And what he's saying here, be convinced. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. Literally, the Hebrew word translates there, his we are. His we are. Remember the passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20? Do you not know that you have been bought with a price? Your life is not your own. You've been bought. What were you bought by? What were you bought with? You were bought by the sacrifice of Christ and the blood that he shed on the Calvary's tree. You were bought by that. Listen to me carefully when I say this. You are not your own if you're saved. You are his. He has paid the price for you. He owns you. To put it in the vernacular where you understand it, lock, stock, and barrel. You ever heard that? He owns you. And he wants you to serve him, to be steadfast in him, to give glory to him, to sing, to serve, to shout unto him, because he has given you something that you can get nowhere else, and that is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed you with that. He created us, therefore he has a right to us. Amen? He created us. The Creator created us, so therefore he has a right to me. Lord, what do you want to do with me the days I have left? Would you ask that question? Would you be willing to ask that question? Lord, what do you want to do with me in the days I have left? Let me tell you what. Now, this is old school stuff a little bit, okay? But it'll be okay. God didn't save you to sit, soak, and sour. He didn't. What did he do? He saved you to shout. He saved you to sing. He saved you to serve. That's what he saved you for, to honor him, to glorify him. Not just to come and take the message or hear the music and be somewhat entertained. That's not it. He saved you that he might change you, that he might make you and conform you to his image, to use you to his glory. Listen carefully. You are the potter. He's the potter. You're the clay. And he wants to mold you. We're his sheep. We're his sheep. Look at verse 3. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We're the people and the sheep of his pasture. Is Winston up there yet? He's coming. Okay, hang on. Let me know when he's there. We are his sheep. Sheep, there he is. Winston was dependent on me. I got him as a pup down in Rock Springs, Texas from a rancher. And Winston absolutely is the smartest dog that I've ever had in my life, and I've had dogs all the time. Winston would sit, speak, stand, walk on his hind feet. He would roll over. He would just, anything you can think of, he would do it. Well, one Sunday, I carried Winston with me to a church that I was preaching at up north of Denton. And Winston was a part of the sermon. And I'm going to tell you what I did with him. Turn to John chapter 10, if you would, please. John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 14. John chapter 10 and verse 14. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. My sheep know me, and then he goes on down to say, and they follow me. They know me. They follow me. So Winston was obedient. So I carried him to the church. Judy had put him in the, remember the cry rooms that they used to have at churches? Well, Winston was in the cry room. He wasn't crying. He was just back there. So I told Judy, let him out. And he came down the aisle and he sat. And I said, Winston, come. And he hopped up on the little platform about three steps high and turned around and faced the congregation like he'd been doing it all of his life. And he hadn't. And he just sat there. And I'd say, now, Winston, and when I would say his name, he would turn and look at me. So I said, I'm not going to say his name anymore. I'm just going to reference something. So I would say, he follows me. He does what I ask him to do. So I went through all of his regiments, every one of them. And then when I got through, I went down and sat about where Mel is sitting, and I reached in my pocket, and I pulled out a treat. Winston's up on the platform. And I laid the treat on the floor, and I said, Winston, whose treat is this? He'd look at the treat, and he'd look at me. And he'd look at the treat, and he'd look at me. I said, Winston, what do we do to get this treat? Winston put his paws like that, put his head down on it with his little behind up in the air, and I said, thank you for Winston's treat, amen. And when I said amen, Winston came and got his treat. So why do you tell us that? Because Winston knew my voice. And he did what he did on command because he knew my voice. Do you understand what I'm saying? The scripture says, my sheep hear me, know my voice, and they follow me. God's looking for some obedient people to step out and serve, to sing. Dr. Isaac Watts, the song, I'm trying to think of the name of it, but it says, let those who refuse to sing who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King must speak his praise abroad. Great words. We speak his praise. We share his praise. We obey him. We follow him. Why? Because we're his children. We're obedient. I'll ask you this. You that have had children, were you blessed when your children were obedient? I told my kids early on when they were really early in their life to understand. I said, I don't want you to live your life for me, to honor me. I want you to live your life to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do that, you'll bless me and you'll honor me and you'll obey me because you're obeying the Father. And they've done a good job of that. Then he says in the next verse, in verse 4, we're to show our joy. Look at it. To show our joy. Back in Psalm. Verse 4, enter his gates. Let's read back. Shout joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We're the people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Bless his name. We are to show our joy. Literally, the word means to show our joy in service. To show our joy in service. We serve him because we have joy. We enjoy serving him. Praise and thanksgiving should dominate our life. Scott Riling spoke on this last week. We have joy in the world. World doesn't understand. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in all things do what? Give thanks. In all things. What does all mean? All. Now, the Greek word transliterated is P-A-S, pause. And if you do all you want to do to it, you can do everything you want to do to it, and it still means one thing, all, just all. So what we're saying in this passage, what David's saying is, everything we do is about him. It's about serving him and honoring him. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Praise him. Give thanks to him. Bless his name in all that we do. God does something. Don't take it for granted. Thank him. Bless him. Say, thank you, Lord, for doing this. We bless your name. And when we pray to and honor him in his attributes, for his faithfulness, for his love, for his grace, for his mercy, we honor him. We're to show our joy. And the gates of the temple, people could enter in. Now, listen, we have access to the throne room. The curtain has been rent. We have access in the presence of God. We don't have to go through a man. You don't have to come to the priest or anybody, to the pastor, to pray. You go directly into the presence of Holy God through the person of Jesus Christ. You can literally live in the Holy of Holies. Amen. You can live there. And that's what God wants for his church. Not just coming to church. Not just being here, but being involved with him and what he's doing. We're to show our joy. This is a picture of a heart overflowing with gratitude. Bless his name. Say something good about the Lord. Bless him for blessing you. Paul said what? Rejoice always. And again, I what say? Rejoice. Where is he? Prison. A good exercise to be, read Paul's epistles and find one place where he complains. No, he doesn't. Not one place did he complain. Not one at all. When he's cold, all he says to Timothy is, hey, when you come by Troas, if you would, pick up my coat, if you would, please. It's cold in here. Bring me the books and the parchments. What's Paul wanting to do? And he's probably in his mid-60s here. He's wanting to write. He's wanting to study. He's wanting to know God more than what he does. That should be our heartbeat, guys. This is what this passage is all about, is honoring him and blessing him, walking in joy. What prevents this? And by the way, this is not necessarily a request. It's a command to rejoice. It really is. What keeps us from this? Let's look at Psalm 103 right quick. Psalm 103 in verse 1. David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all our iniquities, heals all of our diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that their youth is renewed like an eagle. That's what he wants to do for you. What prevents us from walking in joy? What keeps us from honoring him with praise? I'm going to give you three or four things. One, hidden sin. Hidden sin keeps you from doing that. Second thing, bitterness. Bitterness. Third thing, anger. Anger and resentment cause us to be void of joy. Can I tell you something? Bitterness and anger will put you somewhere where you don't want to be. It's a life killer. It's a life drainer. You say, well, is it? Matter of fact, I had somebody ask me one time, it was okay to be bitter. And I said, you got to be kidding me. No, it's not okay to be bitter. I could be bitter if I wanted to be bitter. My real dad abandoned me when I was 1 month old. A man came into my life and became my dad when I was a year old. Never met my real dad. He never bought me a pair of tennis shoes, never carried me to a ball game, never bought me any popcorn, never carried me to a movie, never did anything for me. But I thank God for him. He came to know the Lord late in life. I found that out. And he's with the Lord now. And he gave me life. Why would I be bitter? Why would I be angry? See, I view that from God's perspective, not from mine. That's where we get in trouble, when we view life from our perspective rather than his. And David's saying, view it from his, and in your life there'll be joy, there'll be service, there'll be gladness, there'll be singing. You'll enter his gates with thanksgiving. Listen, I want to challenge you to do something. When you come to church, come expecting. So expecting what? Expecting God to do something. Expecting God to save someone. Expecting a life to be sanctified. Expecting a life to be set free. Come with expectation. And then come with anticipation that God's going to do that. What a great principle for us to learn. Then he satisfies. Verse 5. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. The Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. The last thing, he satisfies us. He is our satisfaction. If you haven't figured this out yet, I have. You can't satisfy the flesh. No matter what you feed it, you can't satisfy it. It's unsatisfiable. You can't do it. You can't satisfy it. So what are you trying to satisfy? You know, I was listening coming in today, I think it was to David Jeremiah, and driving to church, and I was listening, and he's talking about these things, about trying to get this and wanting this, and oh, if I just had that, and if I could get that car, if I could get that dog or whatever, if I could just get that one thing, it wasn't. Not going to satisfy you, because you can't satisfy the flesh. But the spirit can be satisfied as you walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. There can be great joy in your life. There can be peace in your life because you're walking in that joy. You're not frustrated. You're not anger. You're not upset about every little thing that comes along. It's just living life to the glory of God by praising him and blessing him. Amen. He is good. He satisfies with grace and mercy. He is good. He is loving. He is faithful. Listen, did you know he's even faithful when you're unfaithful? Yes. You know why he's faithful? Because he cannot not be faithful. That's a double negative. I understand that. But it's good theology. He's always faithful. He cannot not be faithful. No more than he cannot not love you. No matter what you've done, he loves you. And no matter what you do, he will be faithful. Have you ever been unfaithful to the Lord? Well, those that are shaking your head, you're lying. The rest of you are lying. We have been. All of us have been in some degree, some way. A moment of unfaithfulness to the Lord. We miss our time with him. We're not in the Word. We haven't prayed. We haven't shared our faith recently. We're being unfaithful to some degree. But he still loves you. And he's still faithful to you. And he doesn't want you feeling in the dumps because of that. Goodness is seen in his steadfast loving kindness and faithfulness. Loving kindness. The word loving kindness is used over 250 times in Scripture. He's loving. He's kind. He cares for you. He's a good God. His constancy in these areas satisfies our longing. Satisfies our longing. Mark this word. When you talk about God being good and gracious and merciful, He's our provision. He is the benevolent God. He's the benevolent God. We do benevolence here at Champion, and we help people. And God is benevolent daily to our lives. You have food to eat today? It's because your Father provided it. You have a house with roof over your head? It's because He provided it. Listen, none of us are self-made men here in the room or women. God has made us what we are, and He wants to make us more than what we are even now as He works in our lives. He is a benevolent God worthy of universal praise. That's exactly what this passage means. It's not just for a few people, not just for Israel. He's worthy of universal praise from around the world. He's worthy of it. We change, He doesn't. Mark that. We change, He doesn't. He's always the same. The constancy of God. The theological word is the immutability of God. He is always immutable. He is always not changing. He is always the same. When you go to bed tonight, He'll be the same. When you get up in the morning, He'll be the same. Now, we have our moods, don't we? We have our moods. Aren't you glad that your Heavenly Father is not a moody God? Because you would be in trouble on Monday morning. Amen. But He's not. Think about this. Get this in your mind. He is consistently constant and constantly consistent. He's always the same. Wouldn't you long for that? To want to be that as much as you can be, to be steadfast in the Lord? So important that we consider it. Conclusion. What greater reason to shout to Him, to serve and sing? We are His sheep. And He gives us celestial joy and He satisfies us. He wants to bless you and me more than we're willing to be blessed. He will bless you as you walk in obedience to Him. I told my kids, I said, hey, you grow up and you be obedient, you won't get told no many times about going to this concert or doing that or a ball game or whatever. You walk in obedience, you won't get told no very many times. And they weren't perfect. They're like their dad. They're not. None of us are perfect. But they sought to obey, and it made life easy. I've heard people say, oh, my kids are growing up, and we're entering into those dreaded teenage years. Can I give you some real encouragement? The teenage years of my kids at home were the best we had. Absolutely the best. My daughter finished college at Baylor, and she called me one day and she said, Dad, I want to do something. I said, what do you want to do? She said, I want to come home and work on my master's and live at home. Is that okay? I said, Holly, you don't have to ask me that. You just load up and come home. And so we sat at the table, and here she is, 21 probably, maybe 22 at the time. We're sitting there eating supper about 2 weeks, and I said, Holly, I said, can I tell you something? She said, sure. I said, I know you're back home. I love that. I'm so thrilled for that. But I need to tell you one thing. She said, what's that, Dad? I said, the rules haven't changed. Can I tell you something? I'm not going to call them rules, but I'm going to call them the Word of God. It hasn't changed, folks. Amen. No matter what the culture says, no matter what the culture thinks, this book is the infallible, inerrant, verbally inspired Word of God. And it does not change because the God who gave it to us does not change. So we walk in a manner worthy of our calling, Ephesians 4:1. In this Thanksgiving season, be thankful that you are His sheep, that you are a sheep. Be thankful of that. You know, Jesus, you know, He was the shepherd. He didn't mind being called that. We shouldn't mind being called sheep, right? And if you think they're really dumb animals, you haven't done your homework because they're not. They're really very smart. It just takes time to get them where they need to be, but they're really very smart. In this Thanksgiving season, be thankful that you're the sheep of His pasture by doing what? Worshiping Him in praise and with great joy. Worshiping Him. Why praise? Why follow Him? Because He loves continually. Look at Psalm 84, and we're done. Psalm 84, verse 11. Psalm 84, verse 11. And I'll read verse 10 with it. David says, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and the Lord gives grace and glory. Watch this statement. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. Teaching moment right here. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Listen to me carefully. That doesn't mean that everything in your life is going to be perfect. It doesn't mean you'll not have a problem, because he is willing to bring to you for his good and his glory what you need to mold you and shape you and conform you into his image. And he knows what you need. He knows what I need. Hey, I turned 73 years old November the 6th, and I'm proud of it. And I'll tell you something else. Holly, my daughter, gave me a journal the other day, and on the outside of it, it was written, this reason he bought it, forever learning, because that's a statement I'm always making to my kids. Be forever learning. Don't grow tired of studying the Word and being in the Word, reading. I just started a new book by Metaxas on Martin Luther. It's a great read. I'm into it about 30 pages, and I love to do those kind of things. Don't grow weary in well-doing, studying and praying and praising and reading about biographies and auto. That's good stuff, people, and it'll bless your life. It'll bless your life. Why praise him? Because he wants to do you good. I'll share this with you, and some of you may have too. I grew up in a world of church where I heard the preacher say more than one time, God's going to get you. If you do this, God's going to get you. He's out. He's going to get you. Well, can I give you some really good news? God's not out to get you. Amen. God's out to do you good. Amen. And if you walk in him and be obedient, he will do you good. See it from his perspective. See it from his perspective.
Broken, contrite heart, he will not despise.
Yes, sir. And he is faithful to be our source and our supply. God's going to bring to you what you need. Would you follow him? Will you serve him? Will you sing, even if you can't sing? Will you sing? Will you let him be your satisfaction? Will you praise him? His kind of attitude and spirit of worship will allow Christ to build his church, for his being obedient to his word. Jesus made us a promise. As we walk in a manner worthy of our calling, he will build his church. And what he wants to do is build it his way for his glory. Praise him. When's the last time you said out loud where someone you didn't know or someone you did know could hear you, praise the Lord? How long? Too long? Well, see if you can get in unison. Will you say that with me? Praise the Lord. Can you say it again? Praise the Lord. Why do we praise him? For he's worthy. He's worthy of our praise. And this is what we learn from this. Sing, shout, serve, be satisfied in the Lord, and life will take on a new meaning.
We hope you are encouraged and challenged by what you heard today. If you'd like more information about Champion Forest Baptist Church, our service times, or how you can get connected, visit us at championforest.org. Thanks so much. Have a great day, and God bless.